10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The incomparable, invincible, unbeatable cigar!
Here's the winner, desperately close, Tisland wins it for America!
But now, Goldakova, a true champion, three Breeders' Cup wins!
Presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's.
Wise Dan's got him! Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile! This is all Beholder! Beholder! And the comeback kid, Gary Stevens, have won the Breeders' Cup Distaff with authority!
He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now here's Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Kurt Becker, and Jeff Bloom.
Days, 3 hours, 23 minutes, and 12 seconds away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Welcome to Santa Anita, where the Breeders' Cup returns for a record ninth year here in 2016. Happy to have you with us on the Breeders' Cup Countdown Show, presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's. If you can't tell, the sun is certainly shining brightly on, well, not my old Kentucky home, but on my old California home, so to speak, here in Southern California. The sun rising in the east and the buzz with just 2 days remaining till Breeders' Cup Friday and an all-time fever pitch here this morning. If you can't tell from the pictures behind us, let me fill you in. This is a scene that is not to be missed for racing fans. You come out to Santa Anita, you go to Clocker's Corner, which is where we are broadcasting from this morning, and you see all the dignitaries, the owners, the trainers, the breeders. Every morning we've been here since Tuesday, this has built to a crescendo. It will continue to do so right up until Breeders' Cup Friday, 2 days away. I'm Mike Penna alongside Kurt Becker, the voice of Keeneland Racing, and the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. For those of you who are just joining us here on HRRN, we welcome you to the coverage. And for those of you who have been watching at BreedersCup.com and HorseRacingRadio.net with Jude and Jeff going through the workouts for the past hour, we welcome you to the program here as well. And JT, another gorgeous morning here at Santa Anita.
Yeah, this is what you come to Santa Anita for, these mornings. The best in the land, really. Fantastic day already. We got to spend a lot of time with California Chrome and Songbird this morning. That was fun to watch. We've got a lot more horses coming out, a lot of Breeders' Cup horses on the track currently, and we're right at the tail end of the Breeders' Cup segment of training this morning.
Yeah, with the sun coming up here right in our faces, by the way, I opted for the HRN ball cap and the shades here today, Mr. Becker. I feel like I'm invisible.
I was going to refer to you as Claude Rains, but, you know, I'm getting so old, I don't know how many people would get the reference. But, it's great to be here this morning. It's been fun. We've had a lot of fun already here this week. And as we see happen here, Mike, you talked about all the dignitaries and the folks that start lining up here at Clocker's Corner each morning. And as we draw closer and closer to these two great days of racing, more and more people coming to town, and it just really does build the excitement.
And we're going to have another jam-packed program for you here this morning. We're going to have an international flair to this show, which makes sense for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. We're going to kick it off with Hiroshi Ando, who is the racing manager for the Japanese contender in the filly and mare turf. And I'm going to try and pronounce the name correctly now, because we found out yesterday it is not Nuovo Record. That's how we were kind of going with it, but that's not it. It's Nuovo Record, something like that. We'll ask him. We'll ask Hiroshi.
Well, that's accurate.
Wow. Yeah.
We saw her, whatever you want to call her, in the last...
NR.
The last, yeah, NR. We saw her training the last 3 days. She was rather agitated and nervous the first day of training, not real happy. Yesterday she trained much, much better, seemed very much more relaxed and happy to be at Santa Anita. This morning she was just fantastic, just really smooth and easy, and spent a lot of time in the paddock. She looked nice and happy. So she's really headed in the right direction coming into the Breeders' Cup.
For those who are watching on the video presentation of this particular show at BreedersCup.com and HorseRacingRadio.net, you're getting a look at three rules. The Breeders' Cup juvenile contender, who is on the track now, trained by Jose Pinchon, making the pilgrimage from South Florida to Southern California to compete in the juvenile. Undefeated so far, but Kurt, very much untested.
Yeah, and that's true. It takes a big step up here in the class level. But to be fair, we've seen horses before that have come to the Breeders' Cup that maybe had been racing within state bred competition. We've seen it happen in Florida, where they do make a successful transition to Breeders' Cup Day. Seemed like a few years ago, wasn't there the winner of the Juvenile Fillies? Yeah. Kind of came from a similar situation, as I recall.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome Feather.
Yeah.
Yes. And this horse, he's a beast. He's a good-looking horse, and he's strong. And he's won all of his races by open lengths. I think maybe 7 or 8 lengths or more. So that's the smallest margin he's won by. He's really a good horse. And we heard Dale Romans yesterday. But Mike and I interviewed Jose Pinchon on our Equine Forum show last week, and he was very effusive in praise for this horse. But when Dale Roman said three rules is coming from Florida and he's the real deal, I mean, that made me pick up my head, you know. So I think three rules is an interesting horse. We're seeing him on the track right now. He's very strong. He galloped nice and strong this morning, and good looking horse. We'll see what he can do.
Yeah, not only are we going to focus on the Japanese contender in the Philly and Mare Turf, but Bob Baffert, the Hall of Fame trainer, who is looking for an unprecedented third consecutive win in the Classic this year. Of course, he has horses in so many of the Breeders' Cup races. He is set to stop by right around 8:30 Pacific time. That's 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds is going to join us at 9 o'clock Pacific time, noon Eastern. And then Hall of Fame jockey Chris McCarron, who is tied with Jerry Bailey with 5 Breeders' Cup Classic victories. And, of course, he's won a host of other Breeders' Cup races. Chris is going to stop by at 9:30 Pacific time. So another jam-packed program talking Breeders' Cup for you this morning.
You know, Chris McCarron has already been busy here this morning, just a few minutes ago, not far from our broadcast location.
Panhandling, wasn't he?
trying to get a mount.
Well, he was hosting a show here on the House PA at Santa Anita for the fans, and the thing I got a kick out of, he had someone standing next to him. So he opened the program. He said, "Hey, folks, I'm Chris McCarron. This is my alma mater." He said, I got to spend 25 years here." And he says, "Does anybody know the guy next to me? Anybody? No? Well, this is Ramon Dominguez." I'm sure Ramon appreciates that.
Yeah. How nice of him.
Well, of course, Ramon Dominguez, who, by the way, is going to try and stop by and join us on this program tomorrow for an interview. Ramon, now in the Hall of Fame, he is, of course, retired, and he is now part of our HRN and Espanol broadcast team. And we referenced this yesterday, but all of our Breeders' Cup coverage Friday and Saturday afternoons, every Breeders' Cup race going to be heard, of course, in English, but for the very first time broadcast in Spanish. And I just had a chance before we came on the air to meet Jose Arturo, who is going to be calling the races in Spanish. He is somewhat of the Kurt Becker of Venezuela, as we referred to him yesterday. He's an icon in Venezuela, great race caller. He'll be on site to call those races Friday and Saturday. So really spectacular stuff.
Well, how exciting has that been? And Mike, of course, I know you started the Horse Racing Radio Network, you and Pete Kulis, back about 10 or 11 years ago. And, you know, given the fact that there is a large Hispanic influence in the sport, a lot of folks may not realize there are a large number of buyers who will come to North American auctions from Central and South America. And, of course, U.S. breeding and bloodlines have had a lot of influence on breeding programs in those various countries. How exciting has it been to open up the gates here and just kind of broaden the audience?
Yeah, it's simply spectacular. You know, you think about the sport of thoroughbred racing, and you see so many Spanish-speaking individuals that are involved with this sport,
right,
on all different levels. So for us, now that we are reaching so many people around the world, that listeners in, what, Jude, more than 170 countries tuned into the broadcast last year and made our website their home for racing coverage, you think about that and you think about, okay, what's next? Where can we go next? We broadcast from some international venues, and we thought, well, this is the logical next step. Let's bring American racing to an international audience, a Spanish-speaking audience, through HRN and Espanol. And people can learn more, by the way, on our website, horseracingradio.net, and HRRNEspanol.com, which is where you'll be able to hear all that coverage Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, when you think of all the people that work on farms around the country and all the people that work on the racetrack that speak Spanish, and to be able to listen to those races in their native language, just a fantastic opportunity for them. And we are so excited to be able to deliver that for people, because it brings a whole new perspective. And honestly, you have to say that the team that we've assembled for that is about as good as it gets.
Yep.
You're not gonna find a better group of guys of speaking any language. They might be better than us.
I was going to say, might be better than our English-speaking team.
We've set the bar very low.
Some people might be wondering, well, what the heck happened to Jeff Bloom, right? Jeff was with you for the first
Nobody's
hour of the
wondering
program.
That. Well, they were so tired of listening to him talk.
We figured we would give your ears and eyes a rest, and Jeff ended up running back to the barn area. He is going to be visiting with Alan and Art Sherman, the team that brings you California Chrome in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He's also going to be catching up with Hall of Famer Jerry Hollendorfer, who sends out the favorite in the Breeders' Cup distaff, that is Songbird. So he'll be back with us later on. He'll fill you in on what he heard in the barn areas this morning. And, of course, all those interviews are going to be heard in their entirety coming up on the Horse Racing Radio Network coverage of the Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday afternoon. All right, we're going to get to a break. A very, very busy morning ahead. We'll kick it all off next, live from Santa Anita. This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
The Stallion Barn at Edina Springs is home to a remarkable 4 Breeders' Cup Classic winners.
Go Shepherd kicking clear, and Go Shepherd is pulling away impressively.
2004 Classic winner Go Sapper is now a leading sire by any measure, with 10 Grade 1 winners to his credit and average earnings per starter of almost $108,000. Go Sapper boasts 11% black type winners from starters lifetime. Go Sapper, standing at Edina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Escape to the beautiful island of Barbados. Its vibrant culture, exceptional cuisine, and a world of soft adventure. Explore the diversity and tranquility of the island, from horse racing and polo to diving and surfing, from fine dining to historical adventures. Trade the rush for the slow and easy. Come and experience all this island has to offer. Visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages. We look forward to welcoming you to the perfect paradise, Barbados.
Painter. Awesome Again's fastest son since Ghost Zapper. Out of a full sister to Tiz Now.
Painter is a two-length lead in mid-stretch. It's Painter with a powerhouse performance. Painter by 4 on the wire.
With dragons in numbers of 1, 2, and 2, no major stallion prospect in recent years was faster at 3. Painter standing at Windstar.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport comes business advisory expertise, providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine needs.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's.
Mustajib is 2.5 lengths off of them. Then comes Veda and Karakunti, and they're coming to the top of the stretch, and obviously turns it on! Obviously in front, Toronado drifting out to the center of the course, and then it's Mustajib. Karakunti is closing in. Obviously the catch. Karakunti with a rush on the outside goes by him. Late run from Edo-Dahl. Karakunti, Edo-Dahl. Karakunti! Edo-Dahl was second. Freight Storm was third. And Summerfront was fourth.
Larry Colmus with the call of that Breeders' Cup Mile victory by Karakunti. Took place right here at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. And Karakunti, the lone Japanese bred ever to win a Breeders' Cup race. Of course, the Japanese are 1-for-8 in the Breeders' Cup. And Nouveau Record going to try to change all that and go 2-for-9 in the Breeders' Cup Filly Amer Turf coming up on Saturday. That, by the way, is race number 5 with a post time of 12:43 Pacific time, so 3:43 Eastern. And, boy, that race, we haven't really touched on it a whole lot over the past couple of days, guys. We'll talk more about it this morning and tomorrow morning because we'll be joined by Saul Kumin, who is the man behind Sheep Pond Partners, who are the owners of Lady Eli, who is the likely favorite in that Filly Amer Turf. And Lady Eli is a filly that's had to overcome so much. You remember Breeders' Cup last year with that bout with laminitis, and it nearly proved fatal. But she is back, and she is among the favorites, if not the favorite, in this year's Filly Amer Turf.
Yeah, it's a fantastic race, and she's just overcome a lot. Very talented filly. Her two races back have been excellent. This is her third race off the layoff, oftentimes a horse's best race, and so we're looking for some big things from her.
Yeah, and again, awaiting Hiroshi Ando, who is set to join us in just a little bit. He is the racing manager for Nouveau Record, and we'll catch up with Hiroshi here, assuming that they can make it by in the next few minutes.
You mentioned that tomorrow Saul Kumin of Sheep Pond Partners will stop by and talk about Lady Eli. I'm anxious to talk to Saul because of the fact that, you know, this is an owner who's still relatively new to the game. As an owner, he's loved the game a long time, but this is an investor who's gotten into the game with both feet. I mean, I don't care where you go. You pick up the program for the day, and it seems like that through his Sheep Pond Partners racing partnership, you will see a lot of horses racing in those aqua-colored silks. So I talk about a guy who brings a lot of enthusiasm to the game. He loves the sport, and, man, he's in it.
Jude, when you handicap that Filly Amer Turf, and by the way, tomorrow at the end of the program, we're going to have a segment where all of us will share our top selection for each of these Breeders' Cup races. But when you handicap that Filly Amer Turf, what were some of the fillies and mares that stood out to you?
Well, you know, it's one of those races where there's about 15 horses out of 14 that you could pick. I mean, it's a very deep field, and you know, I don't know. You look at a horse like C. Khaleesi, who was so impressive, winning the Beverly D earlier this year. Seventh Heaven coming from Europe. Avenge, who went wire-to-wire here for Richard Mandela in the prep race. Al's Gal, who's running way over her head. We heard Kieran McLaughlin say he liked his filly, Centeria Italia. You got Lady Eli. You got Ryan's Charm, another European. You got Novo Record coming from Japan, who's just improved her form tremendously since she's been here, and then Queen's Trust, the horse that Alistair Donald touched on. So there's lots of ways to go in that race.
Well, and maybe Nouveau Record can become the second Japanese spread ever to win a Breeders' Cup race, and we do have the privilege now of being joined by Hiroshi Ando, who is the racing manager for Nouveau Record, and of course the trainer of Nouveau Record, who will be speaking through Hiroshi as an interpreter here for you this morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown program. And that is Makoto Saito. Did I get it right? How about that? My Japanese is not the greatest in the world, but I
think good.
Yeah, good to see you, my friend. This is Hiroshi with the microphone now, and Hiroshi, the racing manager for Nouveau Record. And just for a moment, just talk to me about being here at the Breeders' Cup and looking to become the second Japanese bred ever to win.
This is amazing. Like, American racing is like a huge, and we are happy to be here.
All right, so I talk about being the second Japanese bred to win a Breeders' Cup race. Well,
Caracanti did it a couple of years ago. When Caracanti came here a couple of years ago, right? What does it mean for Japan?
We don't know that horse. I think that horse just bred in Japan, and actually we really didn't see that horse in the training, so could not say much about it.
Okay, well, talk to me about Nouveau Record. What makes her so good?
I mean, she's in good condition right now, and she's, Oaks winner, right, in Japan, and she tripped really well, and seems like everything perfect to be here.
She's looked better and better every day. She was a little nervous on Monday, a little cranky, and then yesterday, beautiful, everything smooth. Today in the paddock, so relaxed. It just seems like she's going in the right direction.
Yeah, she's really so smart horse, like a clever. She knows when's the racing, and she start building herself the condition and the weight, everything she does control. So that's the reason it seems like you guys get better everyday condition. That's she knows.
That's her. It doesn't her have style, anything to do with what you guys do. It's all her.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
This is a American on the Japanese Oaks, but that was May of 2014. That's been some time ago. Her last three starts, she's not been in the top three. She's had to endure the ship coming to the United States. So for folks who are looking at her, and if they say, well, her recent form maybe hasn't been what it was in the past, what can you say to reassure the public that she's ready for this race?
We know reason why she really didn't show much last restart, because we had the really soft ground last restart, and actually she doesn't like really soft grass, so that's main reason. So I don't think she doesn't anything down.
She has to break from post position number 13 on the far outside. What instructions will be given to Yutaka Take before the race?
Yutaka Take, you guys know, so he knows here. So I think I don't give any tactics stuff or anything. Yes, I think we will listen what he does.
Yeah, Yutaka actually won a race for me here at Santa Anita a long time ago. And, yeah, he's a world-class jockey, so you don't want to tell him too much.
I'm a beginner. He's a professional.
Very humble.
Makoto, tell us a little bit about your background and your history in racing. Let people know you. Again, Makoto speaking through an interpreter here for you on the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
Yes, I was racing fan that start off. And after that, he went to join the JRA school, and he became assistant trainer, then became trainer. So he wanted to be trainer.
What would it mean to his career if he could pull off a win in the Philly AmeriTurf?
That will be a big momento, and I think a really big thing. But this is still, he's young. I'm young, so I hope more.
First of many.
Yes, exactly right.
One of the things as Americans that was very enjoyable for us this year was the interest Japan showed in our Triple Crown races with Lonnie coming over. And it was wonderful to see a radio broadcast group from Japan come to cover those races. How much is Japanese media covering this particular story with Novo Record? How much are your countrymen aware and following what's happening with her?
Actually, we start off the betting, in Japan. This is first year. Before we, any Japanese horse go overseas, like even Lani ran the Triple Crown, but Japanese audience could not bet anything. So it was not much super paying attention, even Kentucky Derby. But this race, we could bet. So actually, Japanese audience really concentrate for this race.
So is she going to be a short price then? Because everybody in Japan is going to be...
Probably we will have a different odds from here in Japan, yes.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for spending a little time with us here this morning, and all the best on Saturday afternoon. Good luck.
Thank you very much. We need luck. Many luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
One of the great storylines surrounding this year's Breeders' Cup, no doubt. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back. Hall of Famer Bob Baffert will be joining us shortly. Stay with us. It's the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Bred for greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalusi Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the first crop sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
Mark your calendars for the 4th annual Land of Enchantment Day on Wednesday, November 23rd from Zia Park. 12 thoroughbred and quarter horse stakes races worth more than $1.6 million in purse money. Featured races are the $300,000 Zia Park Oaks, the $200,000 Zia Park Derby, and the $150,000 Zia Park Championship. First post is 12:15 p.m. Mountain Time, 2:15 Eastern. Horse Racing Radio Network is the exclusive radio host for the Land of Enchantment card and Penn Gaming Racing Challenge.
I'm here with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair, maker of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, how do Flair strips, when applied to a horse's nose, help protect their lungs?
Mike, studies show that 90% of the resistance to airflow in exercising horses is in the upper airway, with the majority of that being in the nose. When exercising at high intensity, many horses can bleed into their lungs. The strips have been shown to reduce that bleeding by reducing the resistance to airflow through the nasal passages. This keeps horses healthy by keeping their lungs healthier during performance and training.
To learn more, visit flairstrips.com.
Pioneer of the Nile has proven it with his offspring on the track that are winning graded stakes at all ages, at all distances, on all surfaces. Our belief in the horse has been backed up by the mares we bred to him. We bred 5 mares to him last year. We bred 10 mares to him this year, and not just mares, but Grade 1 winners, Grade 1 producers. Pioneer of the Nile had it as a racehorse. He's from a great sire line. He's got size, he's got scope, he's got substance. He ticks all the boxes, and the best is yet to come.
Standing at Windstar.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Just getting ready for the Breeders' Cup. You know, watching the workouts, studying the past performances.
Oh, that's right. You're betting down at the track this year?
Nah, I'm playing Express Bet. They make it easy, and I don't have to worry about driving anywhere or waiting in line.
Yeah, I've been meaning to sign up with them.
My friend, now is the perfect time.
No kidding.
Yeah, you sign up today, and they either give you a $500 welcome bonus or a guaranteed 5-to-1 odds on California Chrome, Songbird, Teppan, or Flintshire.
Really? 5-to-1, huh? Those horses are all going to be like even money at the track.
Yep. Check it out at ExpressBet.com. Those guys are all about putting the odds in our favor.
Now we just got to figure out which horses to bet.
ExpressBet's got us covered there, too. They get experts like Bobby Neumeier, Eddie Olchick, and Jeff Siegel to give out free picks in their Breeders' Cup Wager Guide.
I'm signing up right now.
Glad to hear it. Now go sign up.
I've got some handicapping to do.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns.
LBO is putting in a run toward the inside. 30 Stews is set down for the drive. Sheikh Al-Badu is coming with his run down the center of the racetrack. Then Superstrike, Rubiano's 8 lengths from the lead. And it's Mia Farah leading the way with the 16th to come. 30 Stews, her only challenger. Mia Farah trying to hold. 30 Stews surges to victory. It's 30 Stews who wins by a neck. Mia Farah was again second, and Rubiano was third, and the time was 1:08:01. Well, the filly almost got home, but it was that late charge of 30 Stews here in the stretch to get the victory in a sparkling time.
Tom Durkin with the call of the 1992 Breeders' Cup Sprint, a little flashback segment for you here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns. Welcome back to Santa Anita. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Kurt Becker, Jeff Bloom will be back in the mix with us shortly. But in the meantime, we'll bring you Bob Baffert. Why not? We'll spend a little time talking with him. The 1992 Breeders' Cup Sprint, the first of many Breeders' Cup victories for you, my friend. That has to bring back a few memories.
Actually, the first thoroughbred I ever purchased at auction. I bought him for $30,000. I was scared to death. Didn't have an owner. I was trembling, shaking, signing the ticket. Then all of a sudden, my name was being called to the office because I never got credit pre-check. So I had to run back there, and they told me, "Mr. Baffert, we don't have your credit here." Well, I didn't think I was going to buy a horse. I was trying to get this other client to buy the horse, and he bailed on me. So I raised my hand and. But I'm good for it, I told him. Well, we need to call your bank right now.
So it's quarter horse, guys.
Luckily, I had just enough funds to cover the $30,000. And they put a lock on it. Keeneland's used to be really, really tough, you know. But that's the only time I've ever been called in the office to double-check my credit. You know, what do you expect? I'm walking around with a cowboy hat on. You know, nobody knew who I was, and but that was the first horse, and that's why he was by Sloopy. And if somebody asked me, how much did you give for him? And I told him, I gave 30 freaking Slews for him, and that's why he got his name. And I shipped him. Hey, I shipped him on a trailer all the way to Los Alamitos, and I kept him there for a week, and I cut him up. You know, I just pieced him off there. It took me a week to do it, but we got it done.
Could you imagine at that point you'd be sitting here today having trained a Triple Crown winner, having won all the other Breeders' Cup races you've won? Could you even imagine?
No, I mean, I can't imagine I won a Breeders' Cup with him because I didn't know what I was doing at the time. So that horse is so good that I wish I had him now. I could have probably won a couple Breeders' Cup races with him. And so fortunately, he pulled it through, and it was so exciting. I remember when he hit the wire, I thought, this is it. I've reached the top of my professional. This will never get any better than this. You know, I might as well go back to training quarter horses and stuff. But, you know, it sort of started picking up a little bit of steam. And in this business, we're only good for about 6 months off of what we do. So, you know, that really helped me. But actually, what really got me going is the classics. When I had Cavaneer, the cowbred, when he won the Santa Anita Derby and went to the Derby, and then you got beat by Grindstone the last dirty nostril.
Tough beat.
And that was tough. And it was like, and I remember telling that, I told everybody that I was, one thing I got out of the way is the toughest beat of my life is out of the way. So here comes Real Quiet in the Belmont. Why'd I say that? So here comes Elliot Walden, who'd been chasing me all along, so he was, you know, he was due some luck. So, I mean, that horse was a really good horse, so Victory Gallop. And he just nailed me right on the wire. And it's funny that in those Triple Crown, I'd use Gary Stevens, get beat in the Triple Crown. Vic Stevens comes back, he beats me in the Triple Crown. I mean, it just, McCarron beats me. He was riding Silver Charm earlier. So it's, you know, it can be a cruel business at times, but I really can't complain about how lucky and blessed I've been.
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch your action. I was already training when you started in the thoroughbred business, and it's just been basically a meteoric rise to stardom. But it's not accidental. I mean, a lot of times people tease about you getting to the barn at 8 o'clock and all that stuff, but you work your ass off, and it's not a shocker that you are where you are today. And I think, you know, you and I have talked about this before, but when you got into the Hall of Fame, that was a whole different kettle of fish. You became like a super trainer then. Everything that you did was perfect and continues on to this
day. He's still
day.
Working. He's doing a radio interview. And he's
I
still working.
He's semaphoring.
I just watched the owners of Opportunity. They're walking around lost. So
where's our trainer?
I'm here.
Hey, with the action. We want some action.
Let's touch on Opportunity and Arrowgate. You're going for an unprecedented third consecutive win in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
I've been asked that. I said, what's it going to feel like? I mean, it's not going to be any feeling different than I won the first one. You know, it's going to be exciting. You know, but I, you know, this horse, he, Arrowgate, he just, I don't know how good he is. You know, we never let him run in his works. We in his races, Bejarano rode him, never really set him down. And I was going to run him into San Diego, but then he got sick. He had a little bug. And so then I had to run him into Lowndes Fair. We're going to run him into Travers. And Bejarano always said, this horse wants to go a mile and a quarter. He wants the full mile and a quarter. And he told, we're going to win the Travers. So then, so we went up there and he had to ride American Freedom because he'd been riding them and so riding them well. And so I didn't want to really, you know, sometimes there's a lot of politics involved here and I got to put out fires and stuff. So, you know, these jockeys and the owner, they feel, well, why is he, you know, taking off my horse and he's been riding them. And so I told him, you have to ride this horse. So I got Mike Smith to ride him. And so, we told Mike, just, you know, he's a really, really good horse and just let him put him on the lead and let's see what he does. And, you know, he doesn't break that well. And the other horse is going to just, you know, took the blinkers off the other horse, American Freedom. He's going to sit. And I think, you know, I really thought he should have won the Haskell. He just had a little bad luck there. He waited too long to kick on with him. And then in that disarming, brilliant move coming over and just cutting right in front of him and just took the momentum right away from him. And so with Exaggerator, so when he turned for home, I saw those fractions, and my wife is always saying, he's going too fast. But he's just a big, he jumps so far. And he's got his head down, he's rolling. And when he turned for home, I thought, they're not going to catch this horse. And I'm looking like, from there, I quit watching him. I'm thinking, hold on for a second. give me that second, let's take it all. I was even like, wow. You know, I was wowed by it. And so, he came back, and it was so funny how Mike Smith, he comes back and he goes, wow, you guys were right. He can really run. Because it was going to be a one-shot deal for Mike. He was going to ride him once, so, hey, he test drove that dude all over the time. I told Mike, why'd you let him win by so much? He goes, hey, boss, you know, I look at the screen, but the sun was hitting it. I couldn't tell. Oh, yeah, right. He wanted to see, hey, what do you got there? He felt a little, you know, Lamborghini. He just opened it up a little bit, see what he got. But it was pretty exciting, and he still, you know, it wasn't that taxing on him, you know. So I've just taken my time. I wanted to give him a prep here, but you know, I just thought running him against Chrome and the Awesome Again, that would be like, you know, if I'm going to run against Chrome and run that hard, let's do it for $6 million. You know, it's like a heavyweight title fight, and if he's good enough, you know. But so coming in here, you know, we feel confident that he'll run well, but I just don't know if, you know, he's really up to the beating Chrome. And how can you root against Art Sherman? You know, it's a tough, he's such a sweet man and everything. And so, but it's, you know, first or second where, you know, if he can run a decent race and, you know, he's supposed to run second. So if he runs second, it's not going to be like the end of the world. But I think he's a here. You know, I think he's going to be the man and have a lot of fun and win some big races. But it's just, you know, to even to have a horse for Judmont Farms, who's like, they're like franchise. They're like the Dallas Cowboys of Europe, you know. So makes me feel really proud that we're on that team, and, you know, it gives you a little bit of, you know, gives you a little bit of respect, you know, that they actually picked me. You know, they're easily, you know, they had Bobby Frankel, and Frankel just, you know, he was one of the greatest ever. So, you know, to sort of put me in that same category, it made me feel, you know, pretty good about it. Well, you know what? I guess I'm not that bad.
It's remarkable, Bob, that you can have the Jockey Club Gold Cup winner in your barn, and very few people are talking about him. Opportunity's been with you for a long time, and he's won over $3 million. He's done everything you've asked him. He finally gets his shot at a Breeders' Cup, and I'm, you know, realistically, I know he's going to be a longer shot than Arrogate, obviously. But do you ever just turn the corner and go pat that horse on the neck and say, "Well done"?
He's one of the favorites of the barn. He's a cute horse, but every time we walk by there, I always call him the Nibbler, you know. So he's a opportunity. He's a horse that Mike Smith, we were talking about him. I said, "Well, we're this," and he's going to run second. He's going to run third. I always tell him, he'll run third, whatever. He just gets a piece at the end. He comes flying at the end. He always beats everybody at the pole after the wire. He's always in the finish line. If the finish line could be there, he'd win. Like, I took him to Keeneland last year. He blew by everybody pulling up. But Mike Smith, he was telling me this a few months ago. He says, "You know, let me tell you something about opportunity. He's going to surprise you. He's going to win a big one. He's going to get a big one one of these days." I said, "You know what, Mike? He came within an inch of winning the biggest race of his life." He says, "What race was that?" I said, "In Dubai. If that saddle would have slipped one more inch back on California Chrome, he would have started bucking, probably taking out the inside horse. He would. That was his chance right there." But so the other day when he was riding FNX, he says, "I'm turning for home." He says, "Mike says I'm going." I said, "It looks like I can see the wire coming. My horse is running," and all of a sudden I hear a horse coming up, and he says, "I hope that's not opportunity." And all of a sudden he looks over and sees that. He said, "Man, what? I knew he was due for a big one, bro." But that horse, he is really he is doing so well right now. He's doing the best. You know, that race really perked him up, and he couldn't be doing any better. I mean, can he win it? I don't think so. He can beat those horses, but, you know, if something happens, if there's a pace meltdown, you know, there might be a pace meltdown or whatever, but he will be coming late, and he will light the board. That's one thing about him. He will come running. He always gets a big check, and that's why he's made $3.5 million. But he's like, we should have named him Rodney Dangerfield or something. he never gets the total respect, you know. If he was in anybody else's barn, they'd be sleeping outside his stall, you know. But he's a really nice horse to be around, and he's just solid. You can count on him, you know. He's just like that fullback that you know, when you need a yard or two, give it to Hopper, you know. So that's him.
Talking with Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and for those of you watching at BreedersCup.com and HorseRacingRadio.net. Bob, let me ask you about one other horse in particular in this year's Breeders' Cup, because I hope I didn't jinx you, but I picked you to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with Klimt, and a horse that Jude and I saw when we were out here, beaten by Gormley last time out, but I think he turns the tables. Tell me about him.
Yeah, I really like him. I think, you know, when he won that Del Mar Futurity, it was really impressive. You know, he beat a really nice horse. Came back, I really didn't do too much with him. He was, he'd run hard, trained him light. I didn't really bear down. I wanted to get that race through him, two turns. And he got away a little slow. That day, track was really deep. And, this track has been dirt, a lot of sand, it's loose. Took a lot of dirt. He was back there. He was so far back. I gave him no chance at all. 3/8 pole, he was just so far back. And all of a sudden, he dug in and came up and ran second. Gormley, he was just gone around. He's a nice horse. Got a perfect trip and for him. So, but, you know, he has I was wanting to draw the inside, but not that inside. But I think he's, I think he has a lot of quality. I always thought when he could run two turns. So if he can just not lose, you know, break with him and stay in contention, I think he's like New Year's Day. He can just sit back there right close by and wait for something, because there's going to be something going to happen, because there's so much speed in there. So I think it's a really tough race, but I that Syndergaard, I was really impressed with him. He has a lot of speed, and how far he can take it, we don't know. But I think that the he's just have to get lucky on the inside and come running. But he is doing well.
Mike Smith was so excited yesterday when he got off American Gal. I mean, he couldn't say enough nice things about American Gal. She looks good in there. You're doubled up in so many races, but what do you think about her?
Well, she had those two races. She's really fast filling. I don't know if she can get the two turns. You know, we're here. You know, if it was somewhere else, I wouldn't have put her on a plane probably. But I was when she drew the 12. I thought, well, I talked to Kaleem. I said, I don't know about running her. You know, in the 12 hole, whatever, she got to be used up. But it's not really post position, but it's like, I said, I'm just afraid that, you know, she is fast. If she turns for home, you know how they hit that imaginary wall. You know, you just don't know until you send them two turns. So we're going to have to use her hard from the outside. She has a lot of speed. So I said, you know what, let me just have Mike Smith work her tomorrow. And I usually don't let Mike Smith work a lot of horses because he goes too fast. Which he went too fast yesterday. So I said, Mike, just cruise around there. Just give me an idea. What do you think? Am I wasting my time? Well, I don't want to go up there and embarrass this filly. You know. So he came out there, put a horse in front, and she went around there in 46-1 and out in 59 and change. And I go, well, you know. So he came back but she wasn't blowing. You know, she wasn't like. So I asked Mike, and so he loved her. Now, maybe he just doesn't want to be playing pool during that race or what? I don't know. I guess we'll find out, but we'll see what happens.
Which of the Baffert horses is Bodie picking to win on Friday or
Bodie
Saturday?
Bodie is so politically correct, he would never answer that. I had him up at Travers, and he knew we loved Arrogate. And I remember there were NBC, the hockey player.
Eddie Olczyk.
Eddie Olczyk. He was trying to get him. Try to get him. He wouldn't do it. He just said, no, I'm not sure. I don't care which one. I'm not sure. And I said, Bodie, it's okay. You could have just said, you know. He said, Dad, I says, these owners are going to watch this show, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. So I'm not
smart kid.
Smart kid, yeah. He's going to run for president someday.
That wouldn't be so bad.
We're training him very young.
I might give him a write-in vote this year. Yeah. Bodie for president.
Bob, his dad could not run for president. Too many open mics. Open mic.
Bob Baffert with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bob, as always, you're always very gracious with your time, and really appreciate you stopping by on what
I really had nothing to do right now.
I figured that.
Just nervous energy.
It's just like Mike Smith with the juvenile.
Yeah, you saw me just wandering around there. Look at poor Bob. Nobody's talking to him. He's by himself.
You've had those ups and downs where nobody talks to you, but you always talk to us, and we appreciate it.
That's you.
Right. Well, you guys have a great show. I love listening to you guys, and you know, you bring a lot. To, you know, I love your interviews when you interview different trainers and stuff like that, because you know, a lot of people don't know a lot about us. That we're when they see us, usually when they see us on camera, we're like 100 things are going through our minds, and we're, you know, you're edgy, you know, you're edgy and stuff like that. So I've talked to one of the trainers today, and he was, you know, he had a problem there. There, you know, you've got like a foot, you know, foot bruise or something. You know, there's always something going on. I go, well, how's it going today? I said, well, I was in those situations yesterday where I didn't know whether there's a fire coming. Do I take my valuables out of the house or just get out there with a hose and just try to fight it? So that's what we're going through all week long. All right, guys.
Appreciate it, Bob. Bob Baffert, as always, very gracious with his time, and our thanks to him for taking a few minutes here to join us on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. We'll step away for another break. We'll come back with more. Don't forget Terry Finley still to come from West Point Thoroughbreds, and, of course, Hall of Famer Chris McCarron. Yeah, he'll be with us in the second half of the program to look back on those five Breeders' victories. This is the Breeders' Cup Classic, or Breeders' Cup Countdown, leading up to the Breeders' Cup Classic, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Fast, sir?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I could pick it up myself.
Or you could pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast, too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Fast faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
It wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Claiborne Farm is proud to offer the regally bred Orb. The son of Malibu Moon compiled a 5-race winning streak that included the Fountain of Youth and Florida Derby. In the Kentucky Derby, he defeated rivals Will Take Charge, Oxbow, Golden Sense, and Palace Malice. Now the millionaire racehorse is garnering big checks for breeders as the leading first crop covering sire and leading first crop weanling sire of his class. Now is the time to book your mare to Orb at Claiborne Farm.
Breeders' Cup Week at Gulfstream Park is loaded with contests and promotions you won't want to miss. Stop by Silks and enter Gulfstream's spin and win drawings for your chance to spin the wheel and win a free Breeders' Cup bet. On Friday and Saturday, play in the Big Money Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and get an official Breeders' Cup hat with the purchase of a program or DRF on Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. while supplies last. Plus, enjoy a delicious Breeders' Cup buffet from noon to 5 Friday and Saturday. It's all Breeders' Cup Week at Gulfstream.
Temple City, a dynamite start at stud.
Startup Nation, who rolls past the eighth ball, clear by four.
Already three grade one horses from his first crop.
Bolo absolutely annihilated them.
Miss Temple City to take down the field and beat the boys in the Makers 46 Mile.
Top five among all Kentucky sires with a 3.41 Apex A Runner Index. Temple City, Dynaformer's best son at stud. Standing at Spindthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns.
Today broke very sharp and was in all business, so he ran big race. I was almost surprised to be where I was, you know. But he did it easy and, was very happy where he was. And he got a little bit tired, but he hasn't run for a while. So we expected that, but he ran a big race.
This is a very, very talented horse. The day after the hopeful, we got to work on him. We put blinkers on him. We breezed him out of the gate several times, and it paid dividends today.
Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns, Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Kurt Becker. We're with you at Clocker's Corner at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. Gorgeous morning, if you can't tell. Spectacular as we edge closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, which begin on Friday. You'll hear every Breeders' Cup race Friday and Saturday exclusively with us here on the network. You can head over to horseracingradio.net to check out our entire broadcast schedule. Of course, those races also available in Spanish on HRRN and Espanol.com. And that website has all that information for you, too. Just heard that little soundbite coming out of the commercial break, guys. Julian Leperoux and trainer Norm Cassie, who is the assistant trainer for his dad, Mark, who, by the way, will join us on this show tomorrow morning. Mark Cassie will. They were talking about Classic Empire after winning at Keeneland in the Breeders' Futurity, and he ran such a big race that afternoon, and he's one of the favorites for this year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile coming up on Saturday afternoon. Kurt, you had the call of that race at Keeneland. Very, very impressive effort from this horse.
The thing that struck me about watching him in that particular race was how professional he was, how mature he was, the way he handled traffic, the way he moved, the way he did just enough to win the race. There seemed to be a lot more there. And the word on the street was that very early in this season that Mark Cassie had been telling people, you know, this may be one of the best two-year-olds I've ever had. I know Mark's been very high on the horse. And then, Jude, he had a couple of stumbles. He had some problems with the start in a couple of his races, but if the Keeneland race is any indication, that's all behind him.
Well, I wanted to watch him because I knew Mark was so high on him, and he'd come off that race where he had wheeled and acted like an idiot, you know, and horses do that sometimes. We all know that. But I kind of did my own personal ISO cam. I paid attention to no other horse in the race, which I hardly ever do, but I really wanted to watch this horse, and I was on him the whole time. And I just happened to be on the roof at Keeneland that day, which was great. Great spot close to where you are, and he was perfect. He never did anything wrong, and I got to give Julian Leperoux all the credit, because you know, you get on a horse that had done something silly, a lot of jocks would go, oh, I better take a hold of this horse or whatever. Julian rode him like he had never done a thing wrong in his life. It was one of the best rides I have ever seen a rider put on a horse, and as you mentioned, it was so smooth. Not a straw in his path. Julian picked the right place to go everywhere. Would say, oh, well, he had a perfect trip. That, you know, that's why he won. Well, that's part of it. But with a horse that you're expecting maybe to do something silly or act up or whatever, he was perfect. He just did everything very nicely, and I thought, wow, this horse is the real deal.
You know, Bob Baffert, who joined us just a short time ago, had some comments about Arrogate, of course, in the Breeders' Cup Classic and Hopportunity, and he spoke glowingly about each of them. But then he also talked about Klimt in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So since we're talking about Classic Empire, let's spend a minute talking about Klimt. Your thoughts on his comments, Jude, about that trip that he had in the previous race. We were here to broadcast the race on the network. Your thoughts on what Bob had to say about Klimt.
Well, you know, I think, you know, Bob, I really don't think he was worried about winning that race. He just wanted to get a good trip into the horse. I asked him about the filly American Gal. He's a little concerned about her getting the two turns. Trainers are always like that. Until a horse does something, they're always concerned. And it's no different for Bob Baffert. He's a Hall of Famer, you know, but you would never know by talking to him. He's not arrogant about it or anything. I don't know if she can get two turns. I was thinking of scratching her. It's funny to hear guys at his level go through the things that a lot smaller trainers worry about with maidens and claiming horses. You know, I don't want to be embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think Klimt ran a very creditable race. I don't think they wanted to be all out. Bob's learned now you don't have to win every one. You got to win the important ones. He's become quite a student of the game, you know, listens to things that Charlie Whittingham used to say. And of course, Wayne Lucas, he pays a lot of attention to, and even takes training tips from Bodie Miller. He realizes now that, you know, you don't have to have all the answers yourself. Other people have some good things to say, and he pays attention. So I think he's probably optimistic. He's not shooting off his mouth anymore like he used to. You know, he used to be a little bit more boastful about his horses and stuff. Now he takes everything in stride, and you know, we'll see how they run. I'm assuming they're going to run good. He doesn't put a horse on the track that he doesn't think is going to run good. You know, he might have some questions or whatever, but they're always fit. They're always ready to roll. So you know, I think he's got to be optimistic. There's some tough horses in that race. Dale Roman's very high on his horse. We talked to Dale yesterday, and of course Jose Pinchin. We talked about him on the early morning show this morning, breakfast at Breeders' Cup. Jose loves his horse, and rightly so. He's won by open lengths, so that's not an easy race. I don't think you can go in saying, "Oh, I'm going to win." I mean, Dale was the closest, right? Yeah. What was his joke?
Not this time.
How many?
He said, "What, five starters in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile? He's never won.
Not this time. This time."
Yeah, that's what he had to say yesterday.
He's pretty high on his horse too. So it's a good race.
Well, we have to get to a break in just about a minute or so. But Kurt, you look at the countdown to the first Saturday in May. We are 185 days, 6 hours, 35 minutes, and 25 seconds away from that Run for the Roses. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner going to be, no doubt, placed at the top of the list in terms of the Derby contenders, and it's never too early to get that Derby fever. It starts right here at the Breeders' Cup.
And it is a deep and contentious group that's here for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile this weekend, and we've not said a whole lot about Gormley. You had referenced the fact, of course, that's the horse who had beaten Klimt in that last start, but you know, it's one thing to have a talented group of two-year-olds. It's another to look up and down the page and see a number of them that seem to be bred for the purpose of stretching out and going two turns, who should like maturing into that three-year-old year. It's an exciting crop.
Yeah, it is an exciting crop and an exciting race coming up on Saturday afternoon. You'll hear all that action right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at HRRN. And don't forget to head over to horseracingradio.net for a complete Breeders' Cup Week schedule. We'll step away for a break. Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds will join us when we come back. It's all ahead on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns, right here on HRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire. Divisadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards.
Kitten's Joy, a world-class sire, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse hosts the 2016 Holiday Racing Festival on Wednesday, November 23rd. Some of the top sprinters in the country compete for the top prize in the $250,000 Fabulous Strike Handicap. The night also includes the $100,000 Swatera and $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. Host time for the first race is 6 p.m. Eastern. The Fabulous Strike Card is the final event in the 2016 Penn Gaming Racing Challenge, and Horse Racing Radio Network is the exclusive radio host for the Fabulous Strike and Penn Gaming Racing Challenge.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic-producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julian Leparoux. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by exciting Grade 1 winner Dre Fong.
Closing on the outside, then Summer Revolution and Mind Your Biscuits, Dre Fong rolls home. And the King's Bishop.
And Castleton Lion Stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Strategize, analyze, select. Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, free pass performances, live video, race replays, and more. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Join Keeneland Select today and earn a $150 sign-up bonus at KeenelandSelect.com. Dedicated to the sport and dedicated to the players.
Horse racing is a major professional sport where you can own your own team without spending millions to play. West Point Thoroughbreds can get you started competing in horse racing partnerships for a fraction of the cost of building a stable of your own. You don't need to know a lot about horse racing. West Point manages your horses. You show up on game day and enjoy all of the fun. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit West Point, T as in Tom, B as in boy.com. That's WestPointTB.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns.
Past the 3/8 they go, and Holy Loot along the inside. Mr. Collins between horses on the far side. Dimension 3 in a line. Now here's Winning Prize going well. Can Winning Prize find somewhere to run? Blue Cap at the rail. Winning Prize nowhere to go. Silentio's in there. Ring Weekend. Summer Front joins the fray. Two wide open. Tsar Approval down the center of the track. Here's Summer Front. Summer Front grabs the lead and a late run now down the extreme outside from Ring Weekend. Ring Weekend coming resolutely. Ring Weekend, Summer Front. Ring Weekend gonna win it. Ring Weekend and Drayden Van Dyke up to win the Kilrow. Ring Weekend won it. Second will be Summer Front. Maybe Home Run Kitten ran on third.
Trevor Denman with a call of last year's Frank Kilrow Mile that took place right here at Santa Anita. A Grade 1 victory for West Point Thoroughbreds Ring Weekend. We'll see him in action Saturday afternoon in the Breeders' Cup Mile. That's the race preceding that $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Not the only horse going to the post for West Point. Of course, they'll send out the old veteran Twilight Eclipse, who makes his fourth consecutive appearance in the Breeders' Cup turf. We'll see if the fourth time is the charm on Saturday. That race scheduled to go as race number 9. We welcome you back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, for those of you watching us at BreedersCup.com and HorseRacingRadio.net, we welcome you back as well. Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds is with us now. He just found out we're on camera, too, so look good, man. You got the Twilight Eclipse cap on. I like it.
Twilight Eclipse, he's our boy. Fourth time in a row. I think the fourth time will be a charm. I've got a good feel, but that's a
That's a tough field of horses in there.
You sent out a post on social media the other day. You said you were, let's see if I can get it right, you said you were heading to California to try to upset some carts with apples
with
in
apples
them.
In them.
Yeah, well said.
I thought it was true. I mean, I try to put things that are true on Twitter, too. But, you know, that's what we're trying to do. I mean, if you're in a race, I see we're 30 to 1. You know, Tommy Bellhouse, he thinks we're going to be 50 to 1, you know, with post time. I think we'll be 30 to 1 when they, you know, post time. But, you know, I think we're in with a pretty good shot.
What's it like to have a horse like Twilight Eclipse who continues to show up year after year after year, and he still competes at the very high level, may not win quite as much as you would like, but, boy, he is a hard knocker, and he shows up every time you bring him out.
Well, I think about the partners, right, because there are 12 partners in on them, and I think about the ride that they've been on. We bought this horse as a three-year-old out of Indiana Downs. And – it's just been a great 4 years, and I'd love to think that we're going to come back at Del Mar in 2017 and we'll run for the fifth time. You know, that's in the back of my mind, but obviously Saturday we're focused on that. And, you know, you look at the past performances and you're like, wow, that's a pretty tough field. But, you know, I mean, we bring a grade one winner here.
A world record
just went over
too,
$2 million.
Does he still hold the world record?
Yeah, he still holds a world record for a mile and a half. He set that Gulfstream, and you know, he's the real deal. And I tell you, he's really doing well. You know, he comes out here and he acts like he's King Kong. But I look at all those horses. I don't think I've seen one horse that hasn't looked really good out here. So you're like, wow, this is the big time, and it's a championship day, and you know, the best horses should be here on the championship day. So we are proud to be part of it, and I just hope it's a great day for everybody involved.
We were talking about that earlier this morning as we were watching California Chrome and Songbird train, and the horses this year all look spectacular. I mean, one looks just as good as the next one in the morning, and that's something you rarely see at these big venues like, you know, Derby Week and whatever. There's always horses that seem to be going south. All we've seen is horses going north. Yeah. It's a great year for that. Everybody seems to be at the top of their game, and I realize, you know, you picked a couple of cherry spots to run in. I mean, those races are very salty, but you know, I mean, you gotta feel good if your horse is coming into the race good. They have approved track records of success. Ring Weekend has won, you know, a stakes here over the course. I mean, how can you knock that? So even though, you know, there's always good horses, there's going to be grade one winners that run last, and there's going to be some that win. And
yes, they will.
That's why the Breeders' Cup is the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
How about Ring
I totally
Weekend?
Agree.
How about Ring Weekend in the mile? What do you think there?
Well, I think we've got a shot. I mean, we've got beat 2.5 lengths in the Shadwell Mile, and he, you know, set the course record up at Saratoga on our closing day. So, you know, I definitely see a horse, what this is, his fourth start off of a long layoff. So, I think he's coming into the race the right way. But I bet everybody who sat in the chairs and I talked to you about their horses, they've all said we're coming into the race, you know, the right way. And, you know, it's a big field, and I think the horse that gets the trip is – you know, they'll be in the position where they're going to get the job done. Yep. And I do. There are about 8 horses in there that I could see, you know, could jump up and win, if not 10. So, you know, there are very few throwouts in either one of the races, you know, that we run in. So, you know, you got to beat everybody to the wire. When you run for $4 million and you run for $2 million, I mean, that's a lot of money, right? So people are looking to bring their best shots and their best horses. You know, I think the Breeders' Cup has done a great job. You know, all those horses from all over the world. You know, you look at some horses, especially in the turf, and I'm sorry they did such a good job, right? Because they've you know, they've got some shooters in there. But I think if you want to be a world champion and you want to win on the biggest day, you should be all comers. And I don't think anybody can say, you know, that the best horses in the world have not come to Santa Anita to run on, you know, Friday and Saturday.
With Ring Weekend, I mean, here's a horse. He's been around a while. He's won well over $1 million. And even at this point in his career, Johnny Velasquez gets on that horse in the Bernard Baruch Saratoga, gave him a masterful ride. Not only does he end up winning that day, he breaks the course record. How proud are you? How proud are you of that effort and of the job that horse continues to do?
Well, I'm proud. You know, all the partners are, and I look back to Graham. I mean, you know, he actually got hurt. We were at the end of his 3-year-old year. We're looking to bring him back, and he went off. He had a foot issue, and it took us a long time. We got close to the races after about 6 months, and the thing went bad again. And so it took us 15 months to get back to the races. So, you know, I think that's the first thing I think about. I think about Graham Motion and that team of people that worked, I mean, day and night to try to get this horse back. And, you know, he's a 5-year-old, and I'd like to think, you know, he's run, you know, 12 or 14 times as a 5-year-old. So I'd like to think we're where we've got a shot to run better and to run as a 6- and 7-year-old. And, you know, that's a good thing. I think if you look at the horse racing business, I think our dynamic would change if there were more 5- and 6- and 8-year-olds that were running, you know, at the top end of the game. I think, you know, from an ownership standpoint, I think it would be a lot better, obviously, you know, to look forward to a long career with a horse that's not going to go to stud or you know, be a broodmare. And, you know, I hope that we're starting to go in that direction as an industry overall, because it would really help on the ownership side to look at your P&L and to think that you have a shot to make good money as a 5- and 6-year-old.
Is this game, given the fact that you manage this partnership, when it comes to racing horses in different racing jurisdictions from state to state across the country, are we doing enough in this game to make it as easy and simple as possible for owners to be involved in this sport?
Well, I think we're better than we were, right? You always look at the positive first. So, you know, we've been doing it. We just celebrated our 25th. And so if you compare and contrast that, you know, today to 25 years ago, yes, we're doing a lot better. But there's still things you look at the licensing and you look at having to get fingerprints and all that. But, you know, that's all the tactical stuff. You know, the thing is that we've got to, put in place all the systems, to give people a great time and to make the environment, really special and to make it enjoyable and to make the experience really top class. And I think if we continue to do that, and I can tell you, we're involved all across the country, and I know that the tracks, they work very hard and they've been working very hard, to do a better job on the accommodation side, on the, lunches and dinners and all those things. So, and that helps the experience, right? When people put money into the game and the bettors and the people who buy horses, I mean, they're the two that make the whole business run. And when you take better care of them, the whole business, I think, is going to benefit. And I can assure you that we're doing a better job. We, meaning the industry and especially the tracks, are doing a better job. And I tell them just to keep working and keep trying to get better. And, you can use technology, you can use everything, but we just got to continue to make the experience, better for, the owners, the new ones and the people, the owners that have been around for a long time. It's all about the experience.
Visiting with Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Jimmy John's on the Horse Racing Radio Network. What a way it would be to celebrate West Point's 25-year anniversary if indeed they could pull off a victory with either Twilight Eclipse or Ring Weekend in this year's Breeders' Cup. Terry, look back. We have a couple of minutes left here before we have to get to another commercial break. Chris McCarron coming up at 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. Look back on last year at Keeneland. You had the chance to celebrate your 24-year anniversary with a victory by Liam's Map in the Dirt Mile. And I saw you before the race. You were all smiles leading up to it. You had a bigger smile after the race,
yeah,
rightfully so.
Well, we ran our first horse in the Breeders' Cup in 2003 out here. We ran a sprinter. He didn't run very well. And I remember walking back because I parked on the backside, and I said to myself, boy, we got to get back here, man. This thing is special. And at that time, there were 8 races, I think.
Yeah.
And they probably gave away an aggregate of, 12 or 14 million right now. What is it? It's 27 or 28 million. What's a million? Whatever it is. But they've got 14 or 15 races. And it's a two-day meet, and it's just it's become an event. So it's so much bigger than it was in 2003. But I every year I'd see people walking in the winner's circle after, you know, to be there with the horses that they had that won the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, you just dream about being in a position where you get a chance to walk into that winner's circle. And I can tell you, when I was in there and with a team of people and, you know, I was partners with the Violas. You know, it was a great thing that they allowed me to get in and our team to get in. It was as good as I thought it was going to be and probably even a little bit better. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, dream come true. Terry Finley, West Point Thoroughbreds. Terry, as always, appreciate everything you do to support us here on the network. We can't do enough to support West Point. You do a phenomenal job. All the best with Twilight Eclipse
awesome.
And Woodring
Thank
Weekend.
You guys.
Go get it done, huh?
Absolutely.
Let's get
Thank
that feeling
you very
back
much.
Again this year.
All right, get it back again. I love that.
Right. Terry Finley with us here. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back. Don't forget Chris McCarron coming up in about 15 minutes. Our Jeff Bloom will be stopping back into the mix with us as well. This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later. Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
The Stallion Barn at Edina Springs is home to a remarkable four Breeders' Cup Classic winners.
Macho, Macho Man, the more they ask, the more he gave.
2013 Classic winner Mucho Macho Man won or placed in 20 of 25 lifetime starts while earning $5.6 million. A precocious two-year-old, despite being a June 15th foal, he proved to be a classic three-year-old and dominant older horse. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Edina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Escape to the beautiful island of Barbados. Its vibrant culture, exceptional cuisine, and a world of soft adventure. Explore the diversity and tranquility of the island, from horse racing and polo to diving and surfing, from fine dining to historical adventures. Trade the rush for the slow and easy. Come and experience all this island has to offer. Visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages. We look forward to welcoming you to the perfect paradise, Barbados.
Looking for horsepower? Spitestown has it. Yeah, we all know Spitestown can get sprinters fast enough to blow the racing form out of your hand. But I bet you didn't know that Spitestown has sired four Grade 1 winning colts at the Kentucky Derby distance of a mile and a quarter. No other stallion in North America has sired more. That have your wheels turning yet? Dirt, turf, synthetic, no problem. Spitestown is a world-class sire with Grade 1 winners on every surface and Group 1 winners all over the planet.
Visit WinstarFarm.com.
Horse racing is a major professional sport where you can own your own team without spending millions to play. West Point Thoroughbreds can get you started competing in horse racing partnerships for a fraction of the cost of building a stable of your own. You don't need to know a lot about horse racing. West Point manages your horses. You show up on game day and enjoy all of the fun. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit West Point, T as in Tom, B as in Boy.com. That's WestPointTB.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's.
An Oscar performance turns it on with one furlong to go. Frostborn is three lengths behind. J.S. Choice finishes well on the outside. And then comes By Bochop, Kitten's Cat, and Wazo Daguerre. Not today. It's Oscar performance. Oscar Performance and Jose Ortiz will win the Pilgrim all the way here. And it was a 7-length score under the wire over J.S. Choice. Then Kitten's Cat and Frostborn. The final time was 1 minute 42.88 seconds as Jose Ortiz wins his second turf stakes race of the day, both in wire-to-wire fashion.
And that was Larry Colmus with the call. Oscar Performance, dominant winner of the Pilgrim last time out, and he has done that on a couple of occasions throughout his career. We'll see him kicking things off in the juvenile turf as race number six coming up on Friday afternoon. And, guys, looking forward to that particular race coming up because we talked about the juvenile earlier, but the juvenile turf, always a good one, too. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Kurt Becker, and now our colleague Jeff Bloom back in the mix with us here. For those of you who had a chance to tune in at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern, you saw Jude and Jeff talking about many of the Breeders' Cup contenders. Well, guess what? Jeff had a chance a short time ago to head back to the barn area and catch up with Alan and Art Sherman, the team that brings us California Chrome in the Classic, and had a chance to catch up with Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer, who will send out the favorite in the distaff, that Songbird. And, Jeff, what'd you learn there this morning that can help us pick a winner?
I learned a lot of things that I'm not allowed to repeat, Mike, is what I was told. But I happened to get back to the barn and visit with the Shermans right when California Chrome was finishing off the cool-out session. In other words, they'd already bathed him, and they were putting in the final touches of putting the brush on him and putting him back into a stall, and he tried to take a pretty good chunk out of Alan Sherman. I noticed Art Sherman was standing a little further back, but, you know, California Chrome really, really looks fantastic. You can tell he's in peak form, but at the same time, you know, he's on his toes, but not too crazy, and, you know, they've got a whole team around him making sure that he's happy and comfortable. They got him back into a stall, and I had a chance to sit down with both Alan and Art. And it was really, you know, a fun time to listen to those guys reflect on just the whole history of their relationship, of course, father and son. And Alan, following in his father's footsteps, starting out as a jockey and then becoming a trainer and deciding to work as an assistant for his father, whereas his brother Stephen is a trainer, trains on his own up in Northern California. A lot of interesting things that they were talking about, and just the experience overall that they get to share as a family with this fantastic horse, California Chrome, and what it would mean to them to win a Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, we'll hear that interview coming up as part of our coverage preceding the Breeders' Cup Classic on Saturday afternoon. You can visit horseracingradio.net for SiriusXM channel information and to listen worldwide. A list of affiliates available for you there as well on our website. How about our old friend, Mr. Jerry Hollendorfer, who sends out Songbird? How's he holding up as we get closer to post time? Well, he has the favorite.
The general was a little bit, he was animated this morning. You know, I think, you know, they've got Songbird on ice. You know, she got her training in, and you know, Jude and I were talking about this earlier in the morning, how you just want everything to go as planned, and, you know, the heavy lifting is done, and they have Songbird back in her stall. She's cleaned up. She's resting comfortably, and that makes him happy, and it's always fun to spend time with Jerry. You know, when you get him away, the craziness of the actual work and the training, he loosens up and you get his smile to crack just a yeah. little bit. He'll throw out a funny joke or two. But, you know, if you think about it, here's a guy who's won more than 7,000 races. And if you've ever spent any time with Jerry, he's got a horse in the Breeders' Cup in Songbird, the favorite for the Breeders' Cup distaff. And if he has a horse running earlier that day at Golden Gate Fields in a 12-5 claimer, he's going to be just as focused because every win matters to him. And, you know, I did ask him, you know, out of those 7,000 wins, is there one that stands out? And he's, you know, well, it's a lot. It'd be, you know, I'd have to take some time to kind of look back at it. But he's just a fascinating individual, and he is considered the hardest working man in the business. The guy just doesn't stop. And you know, I look forward to our listening audience be able to listen in and hear some things that Jerry has to say.
And for those watching us on video, you're getting a look now at Shaman Ghost, who is going to tackle California Chrome and everybody else in that $6 million Classic on Saturday afternoon.
And won the Woodward this year, and another horse that has solid credentials, but because of the way things have shaped up for the Classic in this particular year, is going to go off at double-digit odds, will be a nice price on Saturday. You know, it's interesting to hear you guys talk about the concept concept of spending time with Songbird's trainer, Jerry Hollendorfer, because after we left here, we left the track yesterday, Mike, and if I heard it once, I heard it probably 10 times between here and the hotel. Jeffrey was telling me how he was having dinner with Jerry Hollendorfer.
It's funny. He told me the same thing yesterday afternoon after you guys got back to the hotel.
And then, you know, I mean, Jeffrey's a classy guy because, as it turned out, Mr. Hollendorfer ended up with a situation. He had a scheduling conflict, had to cancel. So I get a phone call from Jeffrey who says, hey, there's my consolation prize.
Dinner with Kurt Becker?
Did you go to dinner with Jeff or no?
We did.
Typically you say no to those invitations.
And since I went to dinner with Kurt, I'm sure he's going to tell you all kinds of other personal things that we've talked about as well, because that's what Kurt does. But, yeah, Kurt was always the consolation prize in this equation.
How'd you like to have that consolation prize? You go from Hall of Famer Jerry Hollendorfer to Becker.
Yeah.
Believe me, I wasn't happy about it.
And then you have to go to your Yelp, and you have to see who serves cottage cheese.
Well, and that was definitely part of the menu, I can assure you.
This was the other thing. On top of that, then apparently I committed a social faux pas this morning.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Social faux pas?
We're on our way into the track, and it's Jeffrey and Jude and myself. And Jeffrey was kind enough to say, you're an Illinois guy, I'm going to introduce you to a tradition. We're going to go to Goldstein's Bagels, and we're going to get a bagel on our way into the track. So I'm great. That's fine. Well, I ordered, minding my own business, he asked for my order. I ordered a plain bagel with butter and a Diet Coke, and he looks...
Yeah, we're not going there again with him.
He says, this is Goldstein's, a plain bagel.
And with butter?
At least go with wheat.
Nothing says goyim like Kurt Becker.
It's tough. It is tough. When you grow up in central Illinois, I do appreciate the attempt to broaden my cultural horizons. By the same token, I don't blame you if you write a letter of apology to the Goldstein family for that order.
We're done trying to broaden the horizons, as it were.
The poor girl. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning, and she has to get that order. It's like, who is this person?
Oh, I'm an exciting guy.
Wild and crazy.
Wild and crazy.
All right, we're going to get to another break. Chris McCarron, another exciting individual. Of course, he's won 9 Breeders' Cup races, Kurt, so he's got a little bit of credentials behind him. We'll talk to Chris McCarron coming up next. This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns, all right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic-producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parrou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by exciting Grade 1 winner Dre Fong.
Closing on the outside, then Summer Revolution and Mind Your Biscuits, Dre Fong rolls home and the King's Bishop.
And Castleton Lion Stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Mark your calendars for the 4th annual Land of Enchantment Day on Wednesday, November 23rd from Zia Park. 12 thoroughbred and quarter horse stakes races worth more than $1.6 million in purse money. Featured races are the $300,000 Zia Park Oaks, the $200,000 Zia Park Derby, and the $150,000 Zia Park Championship. First post is 12:15 p.m. Mountain Time, 2:15 Eastern. Horse Racing Radio Network is the exclusive radio host for the Land of Enchantment card and Penn Gaming Racing Challenge.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Just getting ready for the Breeders' Cup. You know, watching the workouts, studying the past performances.
Oh, that's right. You betting down at the track this year?
Nah, I'm playing Express Bet. They make it easy, and I don't have to worry about driving anywhere or waiting in line.
Yeah, I've been meaning to sign up with them.
My friend, now is the perfect time.
No kidding.
Yeah, you sign up today, and they either give you a $500 welcome bonus or a guaranteed 5-to-1 odds on California Chrome, Songbird, Teppan, or Flintshire.
Really? 5-1, huh? Those horses are all going to be like even money at the track.
Yep. Check it out at ExpressBet.com. Those guys are all about putting the odds in our favor.
Now we just got to figure out which horses to bet.
ExpressBet's got us covered there, too. They get experts like Bobby Neumeier, Eddie Olchick, and Jeff Siegel to give out free picks in their Breeders' Cup wager guide.
I'm signing up right now.
Glad to hear it. Now go sign up. I've got some handicapping to do.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
The world's number one sire of two-year-olds, Warfront, continues to command top prices with yearlings this year, bringing up to $1.9 million. On the track, Warfront has sired recent Grade 1 winner Avenge, Grade 1 victors Brave Anna, and graded stakes-winning juveniles in France, England, and Ireland, Roly Poly, War Decree, and Intelligence Cross. A leading sire on all fronts, from Paris, Kentucky to Paris, France, Claiborne Farms, Warfront.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns.
They're coming to the final furlong. Walk White is tenacious. Ali Sheba is right there, and on the outside, seeking the gold. Ali Sheba with the short lead. He's unyielding, seeking the gold. A final move. And he does it here again at Churchill Downs. Ali Sheba wins the world's richest horse race, and he's now the world's richest horse.
Tom Durkin with the call of that 1988 Breeders' Cup Classic. Ali Sheba unyielding, as Tom Durkin said that afternoon, and he was ridden by Hall of Famer Chris McCarron, one of five Breeders' Cup Classic victories for Chris. Think about this. He had 9 Breeders' Cup victories, 5 of those coming in the Classic. That's okay. If you're going to win a Breeders' Cup race, it might as well be the Classic. We welcome you back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown Show, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Mike Penna, Jeff Bloom, Kurt Becker, and Jude Feld, all with you at Clocker's Corner here in Santa Anita. And Chris McCarron with us now. Well done, Hall of Famer. 5 wins in the Classic. How about that?
And I finished second 3 times. In the Classic. So wow. I was, I'm getting a little greedy, aren't I? Had 5, wishing for 8.
Yeah.
What went wrong in those second place finishes?
Well, the one was, he was, as far as a really nice horse, really good horse, who was really difficult to ride, it was Gate Dancer. He used to lug in bad, and as you remember, he ran with the air muffs on and everything. He'd pull himself up when he made the lead. So in the Classic at Aqueduct in 85, he made the lead with me at about the 8th pole, and his head went straight up in the air, and I went, oh, you dirty son of a gun. So I got after him pretty hard, but Proud Truth came out in the middle of the racetrack and beat us a neck.
Wow. You know, as I was getting ready for this particular segment, I went back and watched a couple of those Breeders' Cup victories, and one that jumped out to me was Alphabet Soup and that tremendous ride that you put on him, defeating Cigar that afternoon at Woodbine.
Yeah, and Louis Couture's too. He won the Preakness that year, so he beat a very nice field. You're always going to beat a nice field in the Classic. But Alphabet Soup was, he was generous, but he was not an easy horse to ride. He wasn't really a cheater, but I call him, his style of running I call conservative. He's like a bicycle. If you ain't pedaling, Jeff, he ain't going forward. I started riding him with the 5/8 pole, and I tell you what, when the wire came up, I was pretty tired. My legs were getting pretty late.
You know, going into a 1.25-mile race, and you have to push on a horse from start to finish, that's going to be a long haul.
That's going to be a long haul. Really would take a hold of it a bit, you know. Anytime that you wanted anything from him, you had to ask, you had to tell him. But when you did tell him to go, he went.
How were you able to hold off Cigar?
Cigar probably was past his prime at that time. You know, he had a pretty good, pretty tough year that year. He was coming off a defeat in the Pacific Classic. Darren Goh, I guess, beat him there, and so. You know, I don't think we ran against the same Cigar that won the Classic the year before.
Yeah. How about the
Ali Not to Sheba? Take anything away from Alphabet Soup. He certainly was a nice horse in his own right.
Yeah, how about the Ali Sheba victory we just heard coming out of the commercial break, one of the more memorable Breeders' Cup Classics we've seen?
Well, I'm glad you didn't bring up the one in 87.
No, I didn't bring that one up. I figured I'd let you do that.
Yeah. Man, that was a tough beat. Ali Sheba was not an easy horse to ride. when he was young. He was much better as a four-year-old as far as his attitude and his willingness, his eagerness to go. He went from being a willing runner to an eager runner when he turned four. As you remember, he as a three-year-old, he'd come from way back. He'd drop back, and he would run sometimes when you hit him, and other times he would sulk. And in the classic at Hollywood Park, I had to – he would – Jeff, every time he would get to a horse, let's say I'm laying eighth, and I get to the seventh horse, Ali Sheba would want to hang with him. I'd have to force him to drive on by. He'd get to the next horse and want to hang with him. So every – and once in a while, he would go when I hit him, and other times he'd say no. He'd pin his ears, and his head would raise up a little bit. If you watch the stretch replay of that race, watch it very closely. You'll see his head raise a couple of different times. And I tried different things, shaking the stick at him, left-handed, right-handed. You know, in the last 70 yards or so is when he put his head down and he really took off, you know. And dang, the wire came up just too quickly. But neither one of us knew. I asked Shuey what he thought, and he said, I don't know. Neither one of us could tell who had won the race. But 88 was a different story. He laid a lot closer. He liked the muddy going at Churchill. I think he kind of liked running in the dark. I heard an interesting thing yesterday. The reason it was so dark is because the people, I hope I'm not going to get anybody in trouble. I think the statutes of limitations are right. But I heard the scheduling the time for the TV thought that Churchill was on Central Daylight Time. Ooh. Central
big
time.
Big mistake.
Ooh. Yeah. So it came from a very good source, so I suppose it's true. But in the classic in 88, he capped off such a great year. Jack was, you know, the knock on Ali Sheba that year was he was a Lasix horse, and the Scarboroughs insisted that he run in New York again. He ran poorly in the Travers. He got beat way off, but he hated the muddy track that day. He went right through his hind bandages, Jude. He ran down badly, burned his heels. Both hind bandages were right down, were gone. And so the Scarboroughs wanted to make sure that people knew that he didn't need Lasix. So they ran him after the Super Derby. They ran him in the Woodward. And all he did was set a track record, going a mile and an eighth. And so he came into then he won the Meadowlands Cup. Then he came into the Breeders' Cup in fine form and just ran a super race. He waited when he made the lead. He got in front about the 16th pole, and he waited a little bit. But when Seeking the Goal came to my saddlecloth, Ali Sheba responded well.
Chris, talk about pressure. I mean, when you're sitting here talking with us about some of these horses being difficult horses to ride, a little bit challenging, you're in a race like the Breeders' Cup Classic, and while we're sitting here, time is moving much slower, but you have to make such split-second decisions that are so critical to the outcome of a race. And, you know, walk us through a little bit. As you said, you come up to a horse, and you hit the horse, and he kind of pins his ears back. He sulks, and you know you have so much real estate left, and you know what the horses are doing in front of you. So much has to be happening through that process for you in the heat of the moment.
You got to be thinking... you know this because you rode races. You got to be thinking about 6 seconds ahead. So I'm looking at the field. If I'm coming from behind, I'm surveying the field in front of me, and I'm trying to. If I'm down on the inside, or if I'm not able to get to the outside, I got to pick a horse that I think is going to continue to run in front of me. As Mike Smith shared with the audience yesterday at Ownerview, he would pick a horse that he knows was going to keep going, so he wasn't going to have to steady. He just followed that horse until it came time where he found some room to keep on going. And he shared something interesting yesterday. He said he'd try not to put himself in behind Pat Day because Pat Day was so darn patient. He would wait so long before he asked his horse to run that he figured, if I wait on Pat, I may not be able to get out when I want to. So you got to be thinking way ahead. And when you talk about how fast things happen, one of the things I shared with the audience yesterday was I was involved in a five-horse spill right here at Santa Anita on October 16th, 1986. The reason I remember the date, it was 2 weeks before the Breeders' Cup. A horse called On Color with Terry Lipham broke down at the 3/8 pole and fell. Rafael Meza went over top of him. Gary Stevens went over top of him. I went over Gary's horse. Lafitte went over my horse called Variety Road. As I'm rolling on the ground, Lafitte came hurtling through the air and landed on my left leg. My right leg acted as a fulcrum and broke my femur in four places. I'm laying on the ground thinking, dang it, I had 7 calls for the Breeders' Cup Precisionist in the Classic. I had a bunch of good calls. That's what was going through my head the moment I hit the deck. But I was kicking myself in the tail going to the hospital for not being more reactive, for my reflexes not being faster. I was 8 lengths behind the horse that fell when he fell. I'm thinking to myself, I'm better than that. My reflexes are faster than that. I should have been able to swing out because I was on the outside. I didn't have any horse covering me from the outside. So I was beating myself up, and when Scotty arrived, my agent arrived at the hospital, and I explained that to him. He said, think about it. In time, what is 8 lengths?
It's a little bit over a second.
Second and three-fifths.
Yeah.
1 3/5 second.
It's not a lot of time.
That's not a lot of time to see it happen. Think about what you're supposed to do.
And then make it happen.
Yeah. So things happen, as you said, in split seconds out there. And you really have to keep your keen wits about you. And you can't have your mind cluttered. And that's one of the things that caused me to retire. I was thinking too much in a race. You know, I got to the point where I didn't have the same amount of heart. I didn't have the same amount of courage as I did earlier in my career. I didn't want to get hurt again. So I'm out there thinking too much. And all of a sudden, the light bulb goes off and says, I said to myself, it's incredibly difficult to outride Lafitte and Gary and Shu and Sandy and Daryl and all these guys. Well, Daryl wasn't riding at that time, but it's so incredibly hard to outride them when you're 100%. You got no chance if you're 90% or 95%. You got no chance. So who are you doing justice to? Nobody.
It's another thing, too, that you're in three dimension. And that's why I always tell people it's so easy to knock a jock's ride or whatever when you're sitting in the grandstand, because you're watching in a different dimension than actually being involved in it and being between horses or trying to pick a spot. That's a big factor.
Yeah, it sure is. It's challenging without question.
I mentioned the 9 Breeders' Cup victories. If you had to pick your greatest Breeders' Cup ride, best Chris McCarron ride, which one would it be?
Ooh, goodness me. I might say Precisionist.
Yeah?
My first one, yeah. And Ross did such a fabulous job. He ran in that race off a 7-month layoff. And here's a horse that was running a mile and eighth, mile and a quarter, and he backed him up to a sprint 3/4 of a mile and ran down there in 8-1 or something like that. And I didn't have as many decisions to make in that race. I don't know. I was just, maybe I feel best about that because it was my first one. But I think Alphabet Soup, I think I rode a very physical race, but it didn't take a whole lot of thinking because I was in the garden spot from the word go, despite the fact I lost quite a bit of ground. But it wasn't as costly as it could have been because Cigar lost even more ground than I did. But either one of those, I would say it was pretty good.
Since it is Breeders' Cup week, we remember horses like Tis Now. We remember horses like Ali Sheba. I want to ask you about a horse who actually passed away earlier this year, a horse named Northern Spur, who won the Breeders' Cup turf with you aboard in the mid-90s. What do you remember about that horse? He's not a household name, per se. What do you remember about that day and that particular horse?
He was a very, very nice horse. I've got a funny story. I arrived at Jock's Room at Belmont that day at about 10:30 or so, and Michael Dickinson of DeHaas fame was waiting for me at the entrance to the Jock's Room. And he says, hello, Chris, Michael Dickinson. I said, yeah, I know, Michael. I rode DeHaas for you in the swaps at Hollywood Park. He said, well, I just wanted you to know, aside from training, I write a column for a paper back home, and I handicap. And I would like to tell you that I have selected Northern Spur as my best bet of the day. But I'd like to tell you how to ride them. I said, okay, lay it on me, Michael, lay it on me. Well, as you know, it rained very hard last night. And after the races, they rolled. On Friday, the temporary rail was at about 15 feet. And after the races, before the rains came, they rolled the turf course, but outside of the inside rail only, that temporary rail. inside the temporary rail, which wouldn't be there on Saturday, was not rolled. So rolling, he tells me, rolling the grass like that and packing it down makes it less permeable. It won't perk as well. So the water is going to sit in the top few inches of that soil, and it's going to make it gummy and slick. Inside where that temporary rail was, where the rain was able to get down through the top soil and roots, it's going to, the footing is going to be much better. You're breaking from the 11 hole. He's got a little bit of speed. Get him out of there and cross over most of the horses and get inside that 15 feet. After that, do what you want. And you know what?
That's
just like at Woodbine when he walked the course with high heels on for Gary Stevens and DeHaas. He was right. But Northern Spur, I think I got lucky. I'm pretty sure Olivier Pellier misjudged the finish line. He was on a horse called Freedom Cry, who was the favorite. And as we get to the eighth pole, just before the eighth pole, Pellier was just kind of niggling on Freedom Cry. He wasn't down driving. And then somewhere between the eighth and 16th pole, he got to scrubbing and everything. And he rode about 40, 50 yards past the wire. So I'm thinking, I'm standing up celebrating. And I look over, he's still driving. And I'm thinking, hey, pal, finish line, was back here a little bit.
Did you think for a second, wait, maybe I misjudged the finish line?
I'm going to tell you another story about that. When Marge Jarrett made the track bigger at Hollywood Park for the Breeders' Cup in 84, and they built the second wire like Keeneland has, one day Darryl McCarg and Lafitte coming down the stretch, head and head, ding-dong on it, nose and nose, and Darryl stands up. So Lafitte stands up. Darryl realizes he made a mistake. He gets back down and rode all the way past to the next finish line, and Lafitte noticed that too, so he gets back down. They get to the second finish line, and Lafitte looks over and says, which line was it anyway? Darryl says, it doesn't matter. You beat me at both.
Hall of Famer Chris McCarron with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Chris, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. Love the Breeders' Cup rings, too, by the way. Those classic rings? Is that, are they just Breeders' Cup rings?
Ali Sheba ring here, and this is leading jockey at Hollywood Park.
Outstanding.
Yeah,
outstanding.
Thank you.
Well done. Thanks for being here with us, as always, and enjoy Breeders' Cup week, and we'll get you a new cap next time.
Go Brady. Go Pats.
Awful. We'll see you in January.
He hasn't played half the season. He's already 3-2. And Vegas has him 3-2 to be the MVP this year. Go get him, Tom.
Aren't you glad you had Chris come by?
Yeah.
I am.
Chris McCarron with his final appearance of all time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're back with more right after this. We're live from Santa Anita. You are listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's.
Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races but don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way right away by owning pieces of multiple horses, which can increase your chances of action. West Point Thoroughbreds has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 20 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit westpointtb.com. That's westpointtb.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
Claiborne Farm is proud to offer the regally bred Orb. The son of Malibu Moon compiled a 5-race winning streak that included the Fountain of Youth and Florida Derby. In the Kentucky Derby, he defeated rivals Will Take Charge, Oxbow, Golden Sense, and Palace Malice. Now the millionaire racehorse is garnering big checks for breeders as the leading first crop covering sire and leading first crop weanling sire of his class. Now is the time to book your mare to Orb at Claiborne Farm.
Breeders' Cup Week at Gulfstream Park is loaded with contests and promotions you won't want to miss. Stop by Silks and enter Gulfstream's spin and win drawings for your chance to spin the wheel and win a free Breeders' Cup bet. On Friday and Saturday, play in the Big Money Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and get an official Breeders' Cup hat with the purchase of a program or DRF on Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. while supplies last. Plus, enjoy a delicious Breeders' Cup buffet from noon to 5 Friday and Saturday. It's all Breeders' Cup Week at Gulfstream.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Bred for greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalusi Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the First Crop Sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
HRRN is your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
The world's top-ranked racehorse is marching inexorably toward the Breeders' Cup.
Tune in for both days of racing. This Friday beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern and Saturday beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
Songbird, a picture of perfection.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships, only on HRRN.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns.
And Pluvin is the leader with Miss Temple City drawing alongside, and then Tourist, who's third just over a quarter mile out. Grand Arch looks for room fourth toward the inside. Then What of You, Ring Weekend, who swings out to the center of the course, six lengths off the lead. Miss Temple City is the leader. What of You needs room. Tourist is there on the outside, and still Pluvin fighting on down toward the inside. Miss Temple City with the lead in the final furlong of the Shadwell Turf Mile. And here comes a late charge from Ironicus, way out on the grandstand side. Miss Temple City, Ironicus charging. Miss Temple City appeared to hang on with the head bob from Ironicus in 1 minute 37 seconds.
Well, if you had no idea what was going on in that race after listening to the call of that one from Kurt Becker, well, we don't blame you, but welcome back to the countdown. Miss Temple City did get the victory that day. Well done, my friend.
It's a little late to back out of that swamp.
I had to think of some way to bring it back that would be a little bit different.
I understand. Switching things up. And I'm going to head to the airport, catch the next flight back home. No.
Really?
It was, you know.
Nobody's out lucky.
Well, Mr. Miss Temple City seems to love the course at Keeneland.
Yeah.
I mean, that's twice this year in a Grade 1 that she has beaten the boys there, and she always gives an honest effort. I mean, that's one thing about her. You know, every time she goes out, you're going to get a legitimate effort. Ironicus, that was a big, albeit late, move from him. He's an intriguing horse. He was on the track early this morning and just got out and stretched his legs. And he's a horse that, with if he lays a little bit closer, gets a little better trip, he could get a piece of this on Saturday.
And the reason I put that Miss Temple City rejoin clip on the format here today is more for our colleague over here, our good friend, the Pontiff of the Pickford, Jude Feld, and his brother Bob, his nephew Sean, involved with Miss Temple City. And it was such a special moment for them to win two Grade 1s at Keeneland this year. But now to come here with a horse that's going to be one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup Mile, albeit against another special filly by the name of Teppan. JT, it's going to be a really, really tremendous race for the Feld family.
Well, it's very exciting. Of course, this being our home track and everything, you know, we've been looking forward to something like this for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Miss Temple City, you know, she does love Keeneland, and one of the coolest things for me was walking into Keeneland and seeing the club colors on two jockey statues at Keeneland.
Club colors owned by the club. You're talking about the silks.
The silks,
right?
Yeah, the purple and black, and it just fantastic to see that. You know, you see Mr. Ramsey's colors on Riders, Claiborne Farm, sometimes Lane's End, but to see the ownership group's colors there at Keeneland was really, really cool. And of course, running in a Breeders' Cup, here, you know, is just special as well. So looking forward to that. Again, a very salty spot. You know, the same people that picked out Terry Finley's spot are the ones that we used to select Miss Temple City spot. I mean, that's one of the toughest races I've ever seen, but she continues to surprise. She runs against tough horses and wins.
From a handicapper's perspective, Jude, when you look at the mile, any chance that you could see a situation where you've got Miss Temple City, Teppan, and Alice Springs, three fillies in there battling for the win?
Well, that would be nice. I'd like to see Miss Temple City in the mix. I just think that race is really, really tough. I got a lot of static from people who buy Pope Jude sheets and people that saw that I had handicapped Ironicus on top at Keeneland. I wasn't too far off. He got beat a nose.
Right.
And I think Ironicus is arguably the best miler in the United States. I think he's going to be super salty in this race. You got LaMotto in there, who's an all-world horse. And
yep.
And they're just two. Alice Springs, very good. I mean, this Jeff's been talking about Tourist. He's been kind of high on Tourist, the way he looks. And he ran third behind Miss Temple City and Ironicus at Keeneland. He's coming into the race great. So, I mean, this race, everybody thinks they have a chance in there. I think Miss Temple City's in tough, but like I say, she continues to surprise. She's very game. Graham Motion said it's the best filly he's ever trained, so that makes me happy to hear those words is enough for me. But it'll be exciting. It'll be great to watch, and if she wins, I'll probably cry.
Yeah, well, I bet you will, and rightfully so. I'll allow you that opportunity to
Oh, you'll make me cry. Yeah. You always do.
I got your brother at Saratoga.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're weepers. But, you know, it comes from loving the game, and we do love the game, and so – You know, when something good happens to us or other people, you know, we get emotional.
All right, that's all part of our coverage coming up Friday and Saturday, all presented by visitbarbados.org here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, see a listing of affiliates, SiriusXM information, and listen worldwide on our website with our free streaming. That's horseracingradio.net and hrrnenespanol.com. If you want to check out the Spanish broadcast that the Breeders' Cup will bring your way, you can do that on that website, too. We're going to get to one final break. We will come back and wrap things up for you. This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We are your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire to Visadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. What's going on to win the Eclipse?
Kitten's Joy, a world class sire standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by exciting Grade 1 winner Dre Fong.
Closing on the outside, then Summer Revolution and Mind Your Biscuits. Dre Fong rolls home in the King's Bishop.
And Castleton Lion stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Mark your calendars for the 4th annual Land of Enchantment Day on Wednesday, November 23rd from Zia Park. 12 thoroughbred and quarter horse stakes races worth more than $1.6 million in purse money. Featured races are the $300,000 Zia Park Oaks, the $200,000 Zia Park Derby, and the $150,000 Zia Park Championship. First post is 12:15 p.m. Mountain Time, 2:15 Eastern. Horse Racing Radio Network is the exclusive radio host for the Land of Enchantment card and Penn Gaming Racing Challenge.
Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races, but don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way right away by owning pieces of multiple horses, which can increase your chances of action. West Point Thoroughbreds has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 20 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit westpointtb.com. That's westpointtb.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And back at Santa Anita, wrapping up this edition of the Breeders' Cup Countdown Show and Breakfast at Breeders' Cup. Join us tomorrow, 7 p.m. Pacific. That's 10 a.m. or 7 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. 10 a.m. Eastern time for this particular show. One more time, and then we segue into all that Breeders' Cup coverage Friday and Saturday. Our thanks to Pete Rotundo, Amy Zimmerman, Jody Petrovsky, Terrence T.G., Guy Stutley, and all the camera crew, Jill O'Brien for all her help, and, of course, all of our guests for stopping by here this morning. Another busy show tomorrow. It includes Mark Cassie and so many others stopping by for a visit here tomorrow, and we welcome everybody back to the program, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. For our producers, Lee Delapina, Sean C., and our entire crew, I'm Mike Pennant. We'll talk to you tomorrow on HRN.